bob their head up and down and say, yeah, I got it, I got it, I got it. And it's really very simple. It is that God wants to make us holy, set us apart for his holy purpose. And that's really what that means. And it's not optional. You know, the Word of God says, be holy even as I am holy, saith the Lord. So pretty important topic, and one that oftentimes gets ignored here in modern church circles. So today we want to say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. I will mention the heat aspect. You know, back in January we had those cold spells, and saw Dennis on a Wednesday night, and I said, hey, you've been getting many phone calls on heaters. And he says, oh man, everybody's heat situation needed to be upgraded. And so if you need him to come out and take a look at your system, you can give them a call, 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. That's the phone number for Wyrick Air. They have been for over 40 years providing professional sales, services, and repairs for air conditioning, heating, and electrical areas, working in residential settings, commercial settings, and an emergency service when necessary. They strive to provide you with the best service possible at an affordable price. So if you're cold, call them, 321-632-9538. If you're looking down the road and you see that it's going to heat up and you need your air conditioner to help you maintain your cool, you can call them at 321-632-9538. With the supply chain issues going on out there, don't wait till the last minute, because there may be some delays in the process and everything. So give them a call in advance so you can get your problem taken care of. You can stay warm and toasty while maintaining your cool, to the benefit of everyone around you. That's Wyrick Air, Weirich, 321-632-9538, and tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So yesterday we began our discussions on sanctification, and I wanted to go and continue that discussion out of John chapter 17 once again. So let me read to you once again the definition of sanctify. It means to make holy, to treat as holy. It's the divine act of setting aside as holy, to dedicate as holy, setting apart through divine activities such as atonement by the blood of Jesus, baptism, and personal dedication. We sanctify or set apart Christ in our own hearts. This also occurs through the removal of that which is incompatible with holiness. So we're going to be in John chapter 17. I'm going to read verses 17 through 19. It says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So I want to talk about the method or the persons who are active in the act of sanctification. So Jesus starts off here in verse number 17, and he prays to the Father, and he says, Father, I'm asking that you sanctify them, that you sanctify them. Okay, so holiness is not something that we accomplish all by ourselves. It takes Almighty God. You know, I don't know if you've tried to go on a diet just with willpower, but I can tell you this, it's very difficult to accomplish something as menial as adjusting your eating habits without the help of God. I don't know if you've tried to adjust your driving habits or not. Anything that you've got, I mean, there is a place for our willpower. We've talked about that there's a place for us to devise and strategize good things. But Jesus, when he was praying, he says, God, in order for these people to be restored to the holy purpose that you created them to fulfill, we're going to need you to sanctify them. And so, God, I'm praying that you will get involved in this sanctification process. And so I want to tell you that the Heavenly Father is involved in sanctifying people. It's not just something that you can make a decision. Being sanctified is not something that you can educate yourself into. It is a process that involves the supernatural activity of Almighty God. In verse number, verse number 19, Jesus says, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified." So not only does it involve the Father, but it also involves the Son. He said, "Because I want them to be sanctified, I have also sanctified myself. I've set myself apart for this purpose." And so Jesus was not distracted with the cares of this life the way that we are, because he was determined to bring a spiritual purpose, a spiritual status of holiness, and impart that to the forgiven people of this world that he came to seek and to save. So it involves the Father, and it involves the Son, and it involves the Word of God. So the Word is very necessary. Both of these two involvees use the Word of truth. "Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth." And Jesus said, "And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." So there is the Father, there's the Son, and there is the Word of God that goes forth, all of which bring about sanctification. So, you know, I'm thankful for words that bring enlightenment and things that cause people to understand who they are. You know, their motivational messages or I can appreciate those. But I also want to tell you that the Word of God should be on a consistent basis moving me and moving you toward a greater lifestyle of holiness. And I'm not talking about the definition of holiness from years gone by, where, you know, it was about hair length and it was about sleeve length and hair height, if you were a lady, and what you wore or what you didn't wear. I'm not talking about the shifting social standards. I'm talking about the spiritual holiness that God wants to bring into your life. So a lot of times when you start addressing issues, you will find that there are some people that want to maintain certain activities in their life, even though the Word of God advises against it. And God's Word is not about suggestions. They're called the Ten Commandments for a reason. And I will tell you the strategy that I have taken when it comes to the Word of God and in my own personal life. If there's an area in my life and God dispatches God the Holy Spirit and says, "Hey, I want you to tap Bob Arthur's on the heart down there, and I want you to tell him or convict him in this area of his life so that he will remove that area. He will allow me to remove that from his life. I want you to go and I want you to get that message across." Well, God in his mercy, if I didn't get it the first time, would have a second encounter. And if I still had, there'd be a third encounter. But I want you to know, with each encounter, the amplification goes up. And so through the years, I have developed this definition of personal holiness or personal sanctification in my life, specifically when it comes to that area of the definition where it involves the removal of that which is incompatible with holiness. And that's if, you know, I've been confronted with an area on multiple occasions. That means I need to get rid of it. And there might be other people that don't get rid of it, but I'm not going to allow their opinion or their activities to keep me from being sensitive to what God wants me to do. So that's the way that I've done it. If the Word says don't do it, I don't do it. If the Word doesn't specifically address it, but the Holy Spirit comes and says, hey, I want you to get rid of this, I say, you know what? I want to get rid of that. And that's the approach that I've taken. So there are a lot of people that partake or participate in a lot of things that I won't do. I'm not here to condemn them. I'm just telling you the strategy that I've used with that in my life. And, you know, the other mindset that I've had is that if God's addressed it in a short period of time on multiple occasions, I sense that there's an urgency in that there might be a trap of the enemy that is involved in that activity. And so I say, you know what? I'm not going to get rid of it next week. I'm going to get rid of it right now. So I will tell you that the further our society gets away from God, that the further they're going to get away from God's truth, the further that they're going to get away from God's love, the further they're going to get away from God's mercy, and they're going to start dealing with one another in a very harsh way of living. And so you already hear certain intimidating tactics being used throughout society by people that are trying to establish a different standard of righteousness and saying, look, if you do not measure our standard, you're gone. You're out. You don't get to play ball. And so I want to encourage you to allow God to set you apart, sanctify you, set you apart for His holy purpose, where He dedicates you to the holy purpose that He has for you, and He removes anything out of your life that is incompatible with that calling and purpose that He has for you. So if you will allow me to take you to verse number 19 again, I want to show you the example that Jesus has for us and let you know that we also play a part in this. There's the Father, there's the Son, there's the Word. Jesus said in verse number 19, and for their sakes I sanctify myself. And so as a pastor, I sanctify myself not only for the purpose that God has for me and the avoiding of the enemy's traps, but I also sanctify myself because I want the people that I serve to be sanctified for God's holy purpose in their life. I'm not looking for it to just be the pastor. A lot of people have one standard for the pastor, another standard for other people in the church, and then for themselves, they have little to no standard at all. I want you to know that's not right. That's not right. You and I, it's not how little holiness can we have in our life. It's how much holiness can we allow God to manifest in our life, because that's the true goal. You know, I don't want to just get into heaven by the skin of my teeth. I don't want you to do that either. I want to experience as much of the purity and holiness of God and the power thereof. I want to experience that not just in the last few hours of my life, but I want to experience that for as much of this life as I can, no matter how long it is. So as a pastor, I want to sanctify myself because that's going to benefit my church. They're also going to want to be sanctified. As a husband, as a father, I want to sanctify myself because I want my wife to be sanctified for the holy purpose that she has in her life. She's a phenomenal woman. She's a phenomenal woman. I don't want to do anything to mess that up. And so I sanctify myself for God's holy purpose. And part of that holy purpose is loving her with everything that I have inside of me and providing a great example of what a husband should be, and that I strive to get better day after day after day, and be that protection and that covering for her that God has for me. So I want to do that because I know then that she's going to have. So here, you know, we've had more downtime to have more conversations over the past couple of months than in a long time. And so I went back and I told her, I said, look, there are three reasons that I love you. There's a lot more, but I said I've loved you from the very beginning because you were pretty. And the second reason, you might think that doesn't factor into the equation, but, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and I'm thankful that she had temporary blindness because she was way more beautiful than I was handsome. I mean, yeah, it was bad. So I married up in the look scale. And I said, the second reason, not only were you pretty, because that's the lowest of these standards, I said, but the other one was that you loved God. And it wasn't just a little bit of love. She was on fire for God. That was the third thing. Well, combine those to two, and then I will say this. And God gave me a specific word. So, I mean, there was an all-in. I mean, there was spiritual attraction, there was physical attraction, and there was spiritual direction. God had given both of us a word that we were supposed to marry one another. Independent of one another, no coercion. We were just having a conversation one day, and I said, well, you know, God told me that I was supposed to marry you. And she said, really? Because he told me that too. And so there was that. So I want to be the best husband as I can be for her. And so I sanctify myself so that our marriage will be sanctified. That was our prayer on our wedding night. God, we want every aspect of this marriage to be sanctified, every part of the marriage to be sanctified and set apart for your holy purpose. It's one of the reasons why I sanctify myself for my kids, is because I set myself as apart as holy so that they would see, you know what? God's serious about this. And so we need to be very, very serious about setting ourselves apart for the holy purpose that God has for us. So that's the high priestly prayer. I want to take you over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Get my brain engaged here when it comes to turning pages. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13. And Paul writes, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So not only is the Father involved in sanctification, not only is the Son involved in sanctification. Not only are you involved in sanctification, but God the Holy Spirit is involved in that process as well. So here's what it says. It says, God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit. And then it adds this, and belief in the truth. So it is not only that the Word is involved, you and I have to put our belief in that truth, the truth of God's Word, that it says, you know what? God saved me. God delivered me from the mess, not so I could stay in the mess, not so I could go back to the mess, but so I could be delivered for the holy purpose. God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of the bondage of Egypt, not so that they could just wander around aimlessly, but so that they could be the covenant children of God, the children of promise in the promised land, so that they could be a holy people. Okay? God makes people holy when they come to Jesus and put their faith and trust in Him. And so because of that, so let me read it to you again. Because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth. Okay? Before that, it says this, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. So where sanctification may be a topic that causes people's eyes to glaze over and causes their mind to be very, very sleepy, and all of a sudden their head starts to bob, I want you to know that that was not Paul's reaction to people being sanctified, delivered from that which is incompatible with holiness, so that they could embrace the holy purpose of God. His reaction was this: we are bound to give thanks to God always for you. Okay? When was the last time that you saw a news story and somebody did something and you just knew that it what they did was bad, and the people who were close to them, who knew them, who held them dear, they weren't jumping up and down because of the actions that those people had taken? But I want to tell you that when God has come onto the scene, and the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and we personally say, you know what? I want to be holy even as God is holy, and I want to be set apart. And it's not about the external legalistic standards of this world, but it's about the inward condition of the heart and the purpose for which we have been set apart. That's what I want. I want to live as much of my life for the glory of God as possible. When people see that, they start to rejoice. Holiness is not something to be run away from. Holiness is something to celebrate. Thank God. I've got a friend of mine. I celebrate him. I celebrate the fact that some of the stuff that used to be in his life, not there anymore. Not there anymore. Things that didn't used to be in his life are now there in abundance. And it is a cause for celebration. You say, well, you know, that's all fine, well, for pastor. This person's not a pastor. Just loves Jesus and loves people, and realizes that his personal life is a demonstration every single day to people all around him. Not that he's perfect, not that I'm perfect, but that Jesus transforms your life, and man, he has seen what the other side had to offer, and he's seen what Jesus has to offer, and Jesus has a whole lot more to offer. Look at what it says in verse number 14, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. God calls you. God calls you to be sanctified, set apart for the holy purpose of God. And when we respond to that call, the purpose is not just to show up, but it is to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a purpose. There's something to lay hold on. There is something to press forward to. I pray today that you are more in more right standing with God than you've ever been before. I pray that you are standing in the imputed, imparted righteousness of God. And I pray that every day the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and you, and the Word of God are actively involved in this purging from our life of the spiritual toxins, so the spiritual gold can come shining forth. God has not called us to obscurity, brethren. God has called us to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live for His glory, to work for His glory, to participate. I tell our church, Christianity is not a spectator sport. When I was in sports, I was first team bench setter. And, there were times I wanted to go in, and the coach would say, no, you don't get to go in right now. And finally, they would put me in, and it was like the most exciting thing in the world when I got to go in and play. Christianity is God saying, look, the more that I set you apart, the more you allow me to work in your life, the greater I'm going to be able to use you. People are going to notice what a transformation God has made in your life. If you're still dabbling in the things that you were doing that were sinful in God's eyes, and even though you've said a prayer, I want to encourage you, get about the business of partnering truth and sanctification. It'll be a blessing to you and everybody around you. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
The thought of your amazing cried, Jesus, forgive me. God, I've